Amen. Amen. So we're going to read something together and do a short sharing. And just it's a whole other perspective. If you would read, read it since you're the good reader.
The first paragraph here, or
the paper?
Huh?
The paper.
Oh, the subject is the Garden of Eden and the freedom to choose.
I guess before you read it, the idea is we look at the Garden of Eden and all of us go, wow, can't believe you guys missed that one. That's the thought. People will joke around about Eve doing this and Adam cave. All of us live in our own Garden of Eden. Each day we choose. And so the perspective is everybody's living in their own garden. Some people are living very excited, waiting for Yahweh to come walking in the cool of the day. But the majority of people want to imagine he doesn't even exist. This is our kingdom. And what they do is, in their own minds, they elevate themselves as Elohims. Because if you are the person that tells everybody what this God likes and doesn't like, who's the God? You're the God. And this is why people invent things like environmentalism and stuff. They're elevating themselves as gods. And so everybody is living the example of Adam and Eve is every one of our lives. What are you doing in your garden? And how are you living? And what are you choosing? And the other thing was, and we'll get to read this, is articulated better than I can do it, is that inside of man, Yahweh created man in the image of who? Elohim. And inside of all of man's DNA is a feeling that our life is not supposed to end. Why? Elohim's lives are not supposed to end. So we look at death, that was premature. We look at Cain dying, you don't have to tell somebody that was premature, it's already inside you. But the key is, there's only one way to live like the Elohim, there's only one way you can live forever. It's with Yahweh. And how do you live with Him? Obey Him. And light. So everybody has this desire, Adam and Eve, we'll live forever without Him. No, you won't. No, you won't. Well, we don't know what happened after that one sin, but in people's lives, you're going to go, okay, and here's the test. And we should, as we read this, we'll kind of look at the objective is to be seeing people in their own biospheres. And you see people and look at them. Imagine them in their garden. How are they doing? Are they taking care of their garden? Are they taking care of the garden in hope of the return of the owner of the vineyard? Yahweh walking in the cool, hey, he's here, good, good. That's the return of Christ. Or do they need to be, hey, wake up. Everything's all being filmed, right? And that could be warnings like prophets and stuff. But even the prophet, like Jeremiah, who's warning, Jeremiah's in his own garden. And what is he choosing? To live like an Elohim. I want to live forever. Jeremiah might not have said it that way, but maybe he said, I want to live with you. I'm not choosing anybody over you. And who did that better than King David? You look at David's lives, highs and lows, and Absalom comes after him, his other son comes after him, Saul. And David, as you read through David's life, he's not sure what Yahweh's will is. He goes, one guy's throwing rocks at him, spitting and cussing, and David said, maybe Yahweh has this guy doing, but here's David just going to, I'm going to obey whatever Yahweh, my objective is to be with my father. And also with this is going to be the human nature is to never enter into other people's worlds. We're selfish. But when you poke through somebody's world at a restaurant, how is your life? What did you just do? You've just intentionally walked into their biosphere.
Yeah.
As a messenger. How is everything? Everything's not too good, sir. Vera just did this. There's a young girl at Dylan's. She's obese, unfortunately, and she's got a foot problem. It's getting worse. But she's very, very friendly. But you say, obese, foot problem, diabetes, and here she is walking, but she radiates. How are you guys doing? And Vero we got done doing things. How are you doing? She goes, I'm doing great. Vera stopped everything and gave her a hug in front of everybody. And I, Yahweh inside me went, she just went inside.
Yeah.
She just changed somebody's life. Because all of us in our own little Garden of Eden, there's times that we're just missing it. I don't know if this is worth it. We're just missing it. And then Yahweh sends somebody. And here comes a messenger. Whether it was a celestial messenger or a terrestrial messenger like Philip, they came in and they said, you're the one. Me? You're the one. And here it is. So if you go ahead and read, that's kind of a summation we're going to read.
Keys to our Garden of Eden. We were created for everlasting life, a life only possible through a relationship with Yahweh, our Creator. Adam and Eve had this life until they forfeited it through their freedom of will. All mankind has been programmed with the desire to live forever, but this can only be fulfilled by being with Him through obedience. Every day we decide obedience brings life with Him. Disobedience leads to death. Picture each person living in their own garden. Are they choosing life like the second Adam or death like the first? Just as a child enjoys the benefits of living with parents until choosing a path against their values, we too face a choice. Submit to Yahweh and live forever, or reject Him and perish. This is the essence of human existence. A new earth is coming. The old will pass away. Life on this earth is simply an audition for our position on the new coming earth.
So like before you keep reading, you think about children that are raised in a household until they're at an age of decision, 18. And they make choices. And they get to choose to live within your family or leave. A lot of them, we shouldn't be shocked, they're going to choose the world. Why? It's immediate gratification. The road of discipline is, we're the minorities. But when they do choose to live, isn't that fantastic? But a child who is not going to live a godly life, and they're going to be doing drugs and heroin and whatnot, then they go, hey, mom and dad, I need some money. You don't get any of this. You chose. So the key to the Garden of Eden is freedom of will. And when you choose righteousness, or when you choose obedience, you're choosing life. Okay, now, fulfilling your calling. Would you read that?
Moses and David were shepherds of Yahweh's sheep and goats, and were placed into a new garden where they would be shepherds of Yahweh's people. Peter was taken from being a fisher of fish and put into a new garden to be a fisher of men. Which garden are you in? Are you working this garden in hopes that the owner of the vineyard will return in the clouds? Or are you like Adam and Eve, shocked that the owner would interrupt you in your own garden?
So underneath it's going to say our role in the garden, and there's some scriptures that it says, who picked the position of your calling in Christ? In 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, Yahweh is the one that put you in your position. Sometimes I'll go see a really talented musician, and you and I think, oh, I wish I could be a musician like that. It's not malicious.
Yeah.
But what I should do is I should thank Yahweh for wherever He's positioned me. Where have you called me to be? And it also says Philippians 2:13, He puts desires inside of us. And these desires, what are these things? And mom and dad, you guys were great at teaching this. And what I like to think of as an explanation, when a woman is pregnant, all of a sudden she's got a desire to eat dirt. Tara, why would she eat dirt? Sometimes those women, they don't think twice, they go do it. Because their body is telling them they need iron and they need something. Isn't that neat? And it's not that they need it, it's the baby inside them. Something's communicating, you need iron or you need this, and they'll get hungry and do it. So does Yahweh inside of us put desires and hopes. And sometimes it could be to go challenge some Philistines. What is this? For some reason I'm enraged for this righteous justice to go cut the heads off these guys like David. Or other times the thing is, maybe I got the calling to be a housewife. Good! Identify your position, because that's where you're supposed to be, and that's your job inside the garden. do your job and get really good at it. Before this teaching, I never thought about this. Peter was taken as a fisher and made a fisher of men. What kind of, I never thought of this. What kind of fisher of fish was Peter? Excellent. He was a really good fisher. David was taken as a shepherd and he was promoted. Why?
Oh, man.
He laid his life down for the sheep. Why did David lay his life down for the sheep? Because he knew they were Yahweh's sheep and Yahweh was watching. And Yahweh's watching and going, I could use some, he's going to die for his sheep. Okay, I need you over here. And he promoted. And here's Peter, who's probably the best fisherman ever. That's why he's selected. And probably why he wanted to go back. And here it goes, now you're going to be promoted here. And here's Yahweh with each one of us, these desires with fishermen. You notice that Peter wasn't called to a different thing. It was, but let me see here. And
we our role in the garden?
Yeah, so that's our role in the garden. We read those. So now we'll go to Acts chapter 8. And you know, it says, knowledge puffeth up. There's a tendency that when we get wisdom, we get a PhD, or we get a lot of knowledge, that we have a tendency to exalt ourselves. But Yahweh, it says that charity edifieth. And he will give you even more knowledge if you're using the knowledge you have been given to do what? Serve. Nobody served like Christ served. Christ had all the knowledge that any man could imagine. What did he do? He forced it all to submit into his Father's will. Isn't that neat? Like a tool bag. And here this with us, with our knowledge, especially with the scriptures, it'd be so easy to exalt ourselves over other pagan Christians. But Yahweh watches, and he will teach us how we can. Here's somebody who's really, really, really wrong, and we could. We're going to start off at Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and let me get there. And I just heard a teaching recently. It says in verse 26, and a messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, and the teacher said, I bet you he was praying, or he was doing some sort of discipline, because that's when Yahweh gives really big tasks. Peter's praying, here's Ananias is praying, and then boom. So what is Philip doing here? It doesn't say. He's probably retemorizing verses. He was focusing, and all of a sudden, give this guy something, and he's going to be sent. And when he's going to be sent into another person's garden, he's going to be the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian, what is he doing? Why is he reading the book of Isaiah? Obviously, he's thinking about the owner of the vineyard, but he's confused. Now, we'll read this together. Would you read, Mom?
What, 26?
It's 26, and we'll just read it together.
On the following day also he appeared unto them as they were... Is that the one?
No, 8:26. Not 3.
Yeah.
And to how long? To where?
Sorry.
Well, you get just 26.
And the messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, arise and be journey along southward unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert.
We'll pause there. Okay, so all of us are in... If we're thinking that... We're in a terrarium, is like where you put a lizard. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking at it. If we think of our life as a transparent life, hey, this is all being watched. When you get a messenger like that, Philip has a decision. He doesn't have to obey. I'm too busy. I've missed that. I've done it sometimes. I missed it. And I went, man, I really missed it. But what does he do? He goes, okay. What is that? It is somebody who is obeying Yahweh's commandment. Why? Because I'm taking care of his garden. I'll do whatever you want. Wash your feet. Do whatever you got. And then we get over, he sees the eunuch. and he's reading, and it doesn't say that the eunuch immediately stopped, or the Ethiopian. So imagine maybe he's jogging next to a chariot. He doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing. Do you know what you're reading? How can I know unless someone tells me? He comes up in the chariot, and then you keep reading on, and in 35, it says in verse 35, and Philip opening his mouth. Yahweh tells us to prophesy how? Open your mouth. He has us speak in tongues, a language that we have not learned how. Open your mouth. Tongues and interpretation. Open your mouth. And here it is. I wonder if Philip was sitting there going, I don't know what's next, but I'm going to speak because I know he's inside me. And he opens his mouth. And you ever done that? All of a sudden, it's time for me to witness. And you show up and all of a sudden a sermon comes out. And you can imagine Philip possibly witnessing these words coming out of his mouth going, this is fantastic. And he's watching Christ and Yahweh through him in the garden doing these things. And then Philip is taken up out of this Garden of Eden and he's transported somewhere else. How cool is that? I mean, and everybody knows this. Here's Philip goes right back, and then here's the eunuch living in his garden, transformed, he's baptized, and here this is. And that's what we get to do, is if we look at people and looking at them, how are they doing in their garden? And it could be sometimes you're looking and you ask Yahweh, is there something that I should do? Should I go into their universe? And he might say, they already have a choice. It's not this. It's this. Go this way. And here you are, you're walking. It could be at a restaurant or wherever he wants you to go. And in John 4:4, we'll just go there, we'll wrap up there. In John chapter 4 is another example of somebody entering into somebody else's garden.
4:4?
Yeah, John chapter 4.
Yes.
In verse 4, it's a Jacob's fountain. Here's a Samaritan woman. And she is the only woman, this woman, that the church mocks up and down, despite there is no evidence against her. Where's the evidence? There's no evidence she's done anything wrong. Yahweh has no problem with saying somebody's sinful, right? You brood of vipers! Right? Mm-hmm. With her, what did Christ say? Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. That's right. You had some before, this and that. And what is she waiting for?
The Mashiach.
The Mashiach! Here she is, in her garden, got her water pitcher. Here comes a messenger. She doesn't know who it is. It's the owner of the vineyard, his son. Think about what Yahweh could do in our lives too. Wouldn't you just like that? Wouldn't you like him to show up for a second to get a moment? I guarantee you all of us have had that to some extent. But in her case, she says, look at, somebody read verse 25.
25?
Yeah.
And the woman said unto him, I know that Mashiach cometh, who is called Christ. Whensoever he shall come, he will tell us everything.
What kind of heart is that?
Yeah.
People read the book of Job. I don't understand Job. When the Mashiach comes, he'll explain it. Well, what about this? When the Mashiach comes, then he'll explain it. Then people start, here's questions that are not in here. We don't know. We know what it doesn't mean. What does that mean? When the Mashiach comes, then we get resolution. But until then, get to work. And here she is. He's going to explain everything. Can you imagine Yehoshua going, no. Did Christ have to produce faith?
Yes.
Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing. Did Christ know what was going to unfold here? Can you imagine him not knowing this is going to happen, and here's Yahweh going, hey, son. And who would have to produce more? I was talking to my brother Israel today, and as we're talking to each other, Yahweh starts unfolding things, explaining things as we're talking. And we're getting ready to go hunting. And it came back to us, I said, Israel, you have a ministry in hunting. This calling is about another testimony. This calling is about your reliance. And here you are. And I said, I had a gym ministry. Never made sense. And there are times that it had nothing in common with Yahweh and the gym. It was up to me to make the two intersect. And now it's about witnessing to people. I couldn't get rid of this desire. Then he came back as I was talking to him. As he said, I just witnessed all those guys, my men's group, about my Ocho Grande. My brother spoke to a deer, said, come here, so he could harvest it. And he spoke for, well, actually, he spoke for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then the last day of the last hunt, the deer is too far away. The sun's going down. The hunt is over. My brother rises up. And this is faith. He says, you get over here. He yells at a deer. And the deer comes running to him. It gets within. Didn't make it easy. It got close enough for him to make a difficult shot, turn broadside. He turns and fires. What is that? It's a testimony. And Yahweh is living inside. And as I was talking to Izzy, I was going, we're getting ready to go hunting again. And this is about your ministry, your garden. And all those men who heard about Ocho Grande, people have heard about that story, some people, once in a lifetime, never going to happen again. You're going to make it happen again. But that was entering into his. What is your calling? I know what my calling is. It's hunting. And what about a ministry where you're witnessing to people and teaching hunters? And here's these mighty works and getting things activated. Yeah. But then here's this woman at the well, and look what happened inside that woman's garden. I like to think of this example similar to the Ethiopian that gets baptized. What do you think he did? Is the Ethiopian alone by himself in the chariot? Are there people around? I mean, this guy, he's in charge of like a lot of stuff. I forgot what his job is. There are witnesses. He gets sucked up. Hey, watch it. That Ethiopian was reading Isaiah. I bet you, I've seen this before. It's in Kings. Here goes Elijah. But here, this thing, what happened to him? He catches on fire and he goes out into other people's gardens. And then with this woman, a Samaria, look what she did in verse 28 and 29. We'll read it. And what I believe, for the sake of this teaching, is she just invaded other people's gardens. He's here, the owner's here, of the vineyard's here. Just read what he says. Somebody read verse 28 and 29.
The woman therefore left her water vessel and went away into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Can this be the Christ, the Messiah? They came forth out of the city and were coming unto him.
We stop right there. Going to go. What did she do? She caught on fire. And the thought is, what happened today with my brother? Not my idea. There's a desire that going hunting is very important. He understands it. I understand it. We don't know why. And then it came back down to this. I said, Israel. He showed me a picture of a friend of his who shot the second biggest deer in the state of Kansas, the history of the state of Kansas, where we're going. And I said, what do you think gives Yahweh more glory? An unbeliever having that on his wall? Or his son going and harvesting it and giving the testimony to thousands of people? And he went... is absolutely. Now think about all those people you just witnessed to about Ocho Grande. Christ is inside them. He'll testify. Amen. Amen. They might go, whatever. You ever had that? And then 2 days later, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It's Christ inside you. I said, but now think about what's going to happen when you shoot the state. And I didn't say this, but imagine the state record. This testimony, and the point where I was trying to get into that is going into people's gardens. A lot of times people don't even know what their position is. What's your calling? I have no idea. Yeah. Nobody's ever told me. I know he's coming back, but I don't know. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a minister. What are you good at? I'm a fisherman. Good. He needs fishermen. And then you enter in and then stir them up and then help them intersect their calling into the testimony. But... So Father, I thank you for the people that have come into my life over and over, especially during my rebellious years, which was my parents sending me teaching tapes. Thank you for showing us how to send teachings, leave business cards, tips, so that we can activate those believers inside their own little gardens so they can get things ready before you come, because we know that the garden that we have here is just an audition for the next world, the next earth that's coming. And we thank you for helping us so that we don't have any regret, and that we finish this race and we run in a way in which to win, and that when your son comes back, we go, ta-da! So we thank you, Father, for these words. Know that my excitement for all of you that are watching and hearing right now, specifically in this room, my excitement exceeds your understanding of the excitement. I want you to know that when I look at your life and I see the future and the potential that is before you, that I want each one of you to understand that the best part of your life has not even happened yet. And that I want each one of your lives to continue to excel in excitement, excel in a burning adoration or an ardor, so that you could produce incense, frankincense, and myrrh for my Father who is in the heavens. You have not even begun to see how powerful you are and how influential you are in the kingdom and the kingdom to come. Amen. Amen.